Guys, it is always great to speak with you. I think this is really cool that we're doing this here in a Toronto tradition. Backstage, of course, for the CNE band shell. First, how do you guys feel about being part of this type of tradition? Because, I mean, some of the biggest bands in history have performed here in the CNE.
Well, I mean, we're proud to be a part of it. I mean, one of the cool things about having, six albums in and over 20 years of playing music is you have these different milestones and you get to be a part of musical traditions. You know, this is, over 100 years of music. Somebody mentioned that. That's there's very few festivals on the planet that can even claim that. So I think we're just glad to be here.
I will say the grounds are also really beautiful. It's really cool to have, such a well-developed and put together festival where people have, so many different exhibition places and things that they can go into and see and also, walk around and have a lot of musical entertainment and things of that nature. It's fun.
But the thing is, though, Hanson, Toronto, I mean, it's a marriage. You could talk about 6, 7, 8 albums in, but it doesn't matter. The fans still come out. They still want to hear great music from you guys, whether it be new, past, whatever. The Love Fest is still there.
Well, and we have a Love Fest for playing in Canada. We've played more shows in Canada than ever on this album, going to a lot of new places. And I don't know. That's something we love, the opportunity to meet new people. I think one of the great things for us about a festival like this is you do have a lot of people who aren't here necessarily to see you, and we get that chance to sort of introduce ourselves. Even after 20 years of being a band, you still have this chance to meet new people, and that's something we never shy away from, the idea of going, hey, let's put ourselves in a new kind of scenario so that we can share what we love to do.
Okay. The other thing is you're inspired by the smell of deep-fried foods surrounding you.
Have you guys had a chance? I mean, I know you guys just got here, but have you had a chance to try any of the food?
We have not really dove into the food yet, but, I mean, we can smell it, and we've experienced many festivals and fair events.
Frying bacon and funnel cakes.
Somebody got out of the car, like, that smells like bacon. In the dressing room just around the corner, someone just walked in with pulled pork sandwiches. I'm like, you jerk, you didn't bring me in. You're out. You're out of the band.
I go straight for the corn dogs and the funnel cake and the fried Oreos.
Oh, so that would be good. I gotta say though, try the chocolate chicken.
Chocolate chicken.
I tried it a couple of weeks ago. Couldn't believe how much I loved it. It's
like,
actually
good. Chocolate batter somehow. Is that what they're doing?
Well, what they do is it's sort of like a batter on the chicken, yeah. And they have a chocolate ketchup dip that you use.
Holy moly!
Heart attack on a chicken.
It's good, man. I'm gonna try some later on, but. But here's the thing with you guys, the staying power. What is the secret, do you think, with Hanson, the staying power?
I think we can only just say that we have the greatest fans around, that the fans that really that are connected and care. We try very hard to put an emphasis on quality and consistency of music and trying to be as honest as we can be on an emotional level with the songs. But I think somehow or another, you can't take full credit for it. Somehow or another, the music goes out there and it becomes an extension of who your fans are. And because I feel that way about music that I love. It's an extension of me. And I think somehow or another, we've been lucky enough that we've connected with people in that way. And we're just humbled that we get the chance to do it over and over again.
I would say, so the new album is called Anthem, and we've been touring on it now since last year, traveling all over the world. Been in Asia, Australia, we were just there, South America, Europe. And, the theme of Anthem really was inspired by the idea that people, when a song goes out into the world, it really does become someone else's. It's not just yours anymore. You can't really say, hey, this is mine. Because people take songs and they go, that was the anthem for the summertime, or that was my, that sad
behind that moment,
that moment where I was heartbroken, whatever it is, or that fist pumping anthem. And that's what I mean, that's the one of the great powers of music, is it really does go out into the world, becomes other people's. And thinking about the relationship we have with our fans, I mean, I think one of the things, if we can claim one part of credit for the time we've been able to stay engaged and still be able to do this, we don't make any records as if we're just building on the last thing. Like whenever we're going out there to do a tour or a show or make an album, we challenge ourselves to say, well, if this was our first, what would it be? And even when you start, there's no guarantee. In fact, when you start, there's less guarantee that it's going to work. But when you start, you have that fire and that drive to win, because you haven't tasted the good stuff yet. You haven't gotten to stand on stage in front of thousands of fans. So I think a lot of bands, after 15, 20 years, they get kind of spoiled and you get kind of complacent. And we try and push ourselves not to ever go there, because we know how rare and awesome it is to get to travel and say, oh, last week we were in New Zealand to a sold-out crowd, and in Melbourne, you know, to a sold-out crowd, and here we are to be able to be in Toronto, and we'll be in, you know, Mexico in, you know, a couple months. So you get to travel the world and play music, and that's a job that is not one you want to coast on.
So. How do you guys handle the traveling, though? Because, you know, you guys, you're family men now. You know, it's not the Mbop boys that we met in the beginning. You guys are, you know, you are men. You are men. You are family men. You're taking care of family.
Sure. Well, I mean, that's true. We all have kids and wives and, you know, worldly responsibilities that you don't have when you're 12 years old, like we did when we started. It's you know, I think it's interesting for us. Obviously, we've grown up on the road. We've grown up doing this, and it feels very normal. Right, but there is a certain kind of stress that you have to deal with. It's hard to go away for months at a time, but it teaches you a lot about relationships. It teaches you about using your time really well. And we're all married to amazing women who knew what they were getting into, though they're probably discovering that they maybe made a bad choice.
See, Zach, the way I deal with it is, I was like, listen. You knew what you were getting into. Just deal with it, okay?
It's your own fault.
It's your own fault. It's not my fault.
I think you married an accountant, okay? It was all up front.
But how is the writing process for you guys? How has that changed over the years?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it's so much changed over the years. It's just that the constant process of never really knowing where the new fun song that you're excited about the most is coming from. I mean, it could be, you know, one of the other guys in the band. It could be something that you're doing when you're on stage jamming. I mean, we've had actually a bunch of songs that have actually ended up interestingly being singles, like single Think About Something off the last record, Shout It Out, kind of came to its own actually in Scotland while we were jamming for, like, we ended up jamming on that for like an hour or so. And it's just,
I don't even remember this thing. It's like the encyclopedia over here. The thing I think that changes the most about the writing process for us is probably just becoming better musicians. You know, when we started off, we were kids, and we played instruments for the purpose of writing songs, but not necessarily because we were virtuoso players. So over the years, as you sort of acquire new tools and start to play different instruments, it brings sort of whole new colors to the spectrum of what you can bring to the band. And I think that's probably the biggest thing that changes about being a band. You know, when we first started, I couldn't even play a chord on the guitar. Now at least I can play like three or four chords on the guitar. So, you know, we all write, we all sing, so it happens most every which way. But it's more... there is a strange vision that comes together when you think, oh, this is my ideas about the songs I'm writing, and those guys have different ideas. Then when you bring the album together, it's like, that's interesting. We were writing about similar topics, and we didn't even realize it. I think that's probably the advantage of just living a life together in a tour bus or in a hotel room, wherever you are around the world. You're experiencing the same kind of things and then telling your own stories about it.
But I think what's incredible, what you guys have done too, is you didn't let other people put you in a box where they wanted to keep you as kids. You guys kept progressing. Now, was that hard to do when you knew that there are some fans who still want to? Can we roll the clock back a little bit there, please?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you have to be careful because most people around you. Remember, they didn't start your band. They didn't have the idea in the first place. And so you can't expect them to know where you're supposed to go. And I think a lot of people naturally, you know, once you get around, you know, whether it's managers or labels or your fans, they get self-conscious. And they go, oh, well, I guess I got to repeat myself. You know, we just, again, push to make the next thing exciting the same way the thing before was exciting to us. And with that in mind, as long as you kind of respect the relationship that you have with people and you don't just treat it like it doesn't matter, you say, hey, this is important. We don't want to leave them behind and go make a metal album tomorrow and stop playing our records that we did before. As long as you don't do that, then I think people want to join you on the journey. They want to go walk down and try things. And you know, the way that we've tried to do that is really to really tell them, hey, by the way, this is what's going to happen. We're going to try something. Will you come with us? Will you trust us? And for the core fan base, people that are fan club members that travel to see shows, if we screw up along the way, they feel like they were a part of it. They're like, hey, that was, you know, we know you were trying something or you collaborated with somebody and that was different. But they allow some, you know, some error along the way. And I think in a way, you know, once you've allowed people to come in, they make, you know, they feel like even if it's not perfect, that they're a part of it. Interestingly, one of the great lines about writing books came from that. I'm a big fan of Kurt Vonnegut, and he talks about how if you got to tell people as much about what you're going to do in the next pages as possible, as early as possible, because then they can enjoy the transition into the characters and into the places you're going to go. If you hold out on it and make it all a surprise, yeah, then they don't get to enjoy the fact that they're watching you get there. And so in a way, we're trying to tell our fans, hey, you know, we want to do this, we want to do that, we want to do this. And so then if you decide to make a beer company or you decide to start a festival or you decide to do collaborations with random artists, then your fans feel like they were already in on it. And, you know, sometimes they enjoy what you do, and other times they tell you on the message boards, that was crap. You know?
Well, I will say, to make a long answer longer, the one other thing, though, I think is also important is you know, I think we have a unique advantage. A lot of young artists don't have the opportunity to also be the kind of primary songwriters as well. And we were lucky enough that early on, we were also heavily involved in that process. I mean, those were all of our songs. And so on some level or another, our ability to be consistent with ourselves has also been really, I think, heavily helped by that process.
We spend quality time with us.
Exactly. Yeah. But what I kind of mean about that, too, is that, you know, you're not afraid of what you did and you're not afraid of where you're going, you know, and because it's all you. And you're so you can pull in, you're naturally going to pull in things from the past album, not because you're trying to, but because it's you. And you're naturally going to go forward and do something different because that's natural. You want to kind of try something else that you didn't get quite right maybe on the last record. You're like, okay, no, remember that thing that we all thought was cool, but we just didn't really quite get there? Yeah. Well, let's go there all the way. And in the process, you kind of bring everything along with you. And Hopefully in the process, you become somewhat consistent.
What you're saying is we have musical baggage. We can't help but bring it with us.
In the 20 years.
Like a freight train of musical baggage.
But in the 20 years, have you guys ever done an interview without somebody not mentioning that song?
You know, that's a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Have you ever done an interview where someone didn't mention Umbop? Like, but you just mentioned him. You know,
yes, we have.
Absolutely. We definitely have.
Really.
But, you know, the truth is it would be weird for people not to mention Umbop. It's an iconic song for our career. It's an iconic song for that period of time. And so, you know, it's something that you want people to mention it because it's important for who we are as a band and how we've developed. And you don't want to only be that, but you also want people to remember everything, you know, where you've been. Otherwise, you're just part of this moment instead of building a legacy of music.
I mean, if you sit down with Walt Disney, you're going to mention Mickey. You know, if you sit down with the Beatles, you're going to mention I Want to Hold Your Hand. Not to say we're those, but that's the way you have to think about it. If you're something that has made a cultural impact in some way, people want to be able to celebrate where they began, you know, with you. And I think that the issue would become if that's all there is to talk about. And what we've tried to do, you know, every time we do it with the new record Anthem, you know, we can say, hey, this song, Get the Girl Back, it's got our friend Kat Dennings and Nikki Reed in the video. And we have, you know, legendary horn arrangers that are, you know, did the arrangements for Michael Jackson that are playing on the record. And we've got our friend, you know, David Ryan Harris, who's amazing, who's touring with us. You know, there's always things to talk about. So if we didn't have anything else to talk about, then, yeah, I think it'd probably be a very short interview.
You said something that I think is really important, which is when people talk about things like Umbop, they're not really talking about you. They're really talking about their own life experience and how they connected with that. And so that's what you have to remember with your fans and with people who are just sort of bystanders of culture and sort of seeing what you went through. They're really reflecting themselves and how they feel about themselves and how they feel about the world. It's not really a reflection on you.
Very true. You got the last question, and the last question is going to be, because there are so many, I mean, just watching the MTV Video Awards, you see so many young artists out there, and I've been interviewing a lot of them. What advice can you give those young artists getting into this business? I mean, they're traveling around the world, they're making lots of money, they're performing at the biggest places. What advice can you give them?
Wow. I mean, giving advice is a little bit scary because, you know, opinions are a dangerous thing. A friend of mine said, you know, opinions are kind of like assholes. Everybody's got one and they all stink. But
you got to remember, this isn't criticizing. This is.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that the advice goes no matter whether you're old or young, which is know yourself. Be okay with who you are and be okay with what you're doing. Because guess what? Nobody else has to live your life. You do. Everything that you do, you will always be held account for it. So whether it's some crazy publicity stunt or whether it's a song, whatever it is that you're doing, remember, it's going to stick with you forever. So be okay with it. And as long as you start with that, you're probably going to be okay. All of the other things, you can't really predict those things. But the things you have control over, like the songs you sing, like the performances you do, like the places you go and the friends you keep, you know, then you're probably okay. And in the process, you know, do your best to make sound, you know, sound business decisions. Don't take unnecessary risk in the sense of don't bring a gazillion people on tour just because you can. It's probably going to cost you a lot of money and you may want that money later. You know, just be careful about those kind of things, and you'll probably be okay, you know, because one way or another, it's going to fuel the future.
You mean we shouldn't have those 18 trailers full of wiffle balls and go-karts to travel with us?
You could. It just might cost.
14 trailers. Sorry. Just 14.
Get the numbers right, gentlemen. Guys, thank you so much for this interview. We really enjoyed it.
Thanks a lot.
Beautiful.
There you go. I love that. Recording right to your phone.
Yeah, no, man, makes such a difference.